Begin the current daf in Sechlis Erech and Daf Yud Zayin. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues and concludes the third parak in Sechlis Erech with Nagadic teaching. The Gemara says, quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, Zed der Dershav, this is the generation of those who seek him, Mevakshif Anecha, those who seek your face, Yaakov, the family of Yaakov, that of the Jewish people, Selah, forever. Now, Pligibar Behudin Nasi Rabban, this is Machlikish Behudin Nasi and the Rabbanan, where the Pasuk is equating the Dur, the generation, with Dur Shav. Where although the simple translation is those who seek him, it could also mean those who help the Jewish people seek Hashem, which are the leaders of the Jewish people. So, Charama, one of them says, Dur Lefi Parnas, the generation is according to the leader. But Charama Parnas Lefi Dur, the other one says, no, that the leader is according to the generation. So says the Gemara, Lamai Hirasav, what halachic relevancy are we comparing the two of them, depending who sets the tone? Ilem Lamal Yusuf, if you think it's regarding elevated status, regarding being pious, where Demar Savar, one opinion saying, Imali Dar Mali Parnas, if the generation is elevated, then the leader is elevated. Umar Savar, the other opinion holds, Imali Parnas Mali Dar, that if the leader is elevated, then the generation becomes elevated. But how can you say that? Hoiket Tzidkia, the Tzidkia HaMelech. The Hava Mali, Vidar La Hava Mali. He was a tzaddik, but a generation was not. V'hoya Yaakim, you have the other extreme. You have Yaakim the king. Dolei Hava Mali, Vidar Hava Mali. He was not a tzaddik, but a generation was. Dam Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rishum Ben Yechi. It says, Ma'adach said, what is it in the pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Bereishis Mamlechis Yaakim Melch Yehudin, in the beginning of the reign of Yaakim, the king of Judea, and similarly as the Gersa brings, Bereishis Mamlechis Tzidkiyah Melch Yehuda. Why does it say by both the Yaakov and Tzidkiyo the word Bereishis? So says the Gemara, because Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachar Sa'olim L'Toyu V'Voyu. Hashem wanted to bring the world back to Bereishis, the way it was in the beginning, to total emptiness and desolation. B'Shvil Yaakov, because of Yaakov. He saw that he wasn't a righteous king. Kivish Nistakl B'Dari Nisyash V'Daita. But once he looked at his generation, so then Hashem was at peace with that and he didn't turn the world back to Toyu V'Voyu. Similarly, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachas Sa'olim L'Toyu V'Voyu Mnei Dershel Tzidkiyo. When he looked at the generation of Tzidkiyo, he wanted to turn the world back to what it originally was and to destroy the world. But Kibinsh Nistakal Bit Tzidkiyo Nistiyash V'Daitim, when he saw the king, that he was a righteous person, so then he was at peace and he didn't destroy the world. But one thing we see is that regarding Mal Yusa, the generation is not like the king. Says the Gemara, rather El In Yutukva. It's regarding anger, or v'nechus, or regarding easy to be calm, that's coming, and that's what we were saying, we're comparing Dur to Dershav, the generation to the leaders, and that is their machlekes, who sets the tone? Does the generation go according to the leader, or does the leader go according to the generation? Hanu lach yesh be'erichim, shall we turn to the third parak, m'sachtes erichim, parak yesh be'erichim, the third parak, m'sachtes erichim, which primarily spoke about a theme that started with the context of Erechin, but then was mentioned in many different contexts regarding that when there's a set amount, it could be a leniency or a stringency depending on the relative value of the thing, but since it's a set amount, it's always going to be that amount. Now with that, we begin the fourth parak of Masechtas Erechin, parak Hesegyat, which the parak discusses some of the details of this halacha of Erechin. Specifically, the parak opens up Hesegyat. This halacha, that there's a qualification of what's known of hesed yad, how much the person could, that his hand could attain, which is that a poor person is qualified in the laws of Erechin according to how much he could afford. As the pasuk says, that v'machu me'erkach, if he's too poor, he can't afford the Erech vow that he took. So then we go on that side, sliding scale, we go, okay, how much is it that he could afford? And that says the Mishnah, that's qualified b'noider. It goes based on the one who took the vow, not regarding the subject of the vow, the one whose Erech vow that he took, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. V'hashanim, now the years, as we're also going to continue to explain, which is regarding the, as the Torah tells us, the value goes according to the years of that person, is benider. Here goes according to the subject of the Erech vow, which is like, for example, if let's say a youth, a young man, takes the Erech and value of an older man, he gives the Erech of an older man, we don't go after the years of the one who's taking the Erech vow himself, because he didn't say, Erechi Elai, my Erech vow is on myself. Rather, he took the Erech vow of that person, and the Erech vow of an elderly person over 60 is less than that of a man under 60, and therefore he only has to give that of a Zaken, that was the subject, and not of his own. Continues the Mishnah, another halacha of the Erechim, that is a set amount of an Erech vow of a gender of male and female, that's qualified, Benerech, That goes based on the subject of the Erechim vow, and you don't go based on the gender of the one who's taking the Erechim vow. As the Gemara is going to explain later on also, that if a man takes the Erechim vow of a woman, where he says, Erech plainness alai, that woman's Erech is on me, he has to give the subject of that vow, which is a woman, where the generally the gender of the woman is, qualitatively, the gender is less in regards to Erechim vow, that's how he has to take it. And it continues the mission of Ve'erech, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, where if, let's say, he takes his own Erech vow when he's under 20, which is qualified as the Erech as a minor. Now, but before he ends up giving that Erech vow of the money to Hekdesh, he becomes 20 years old, says the Mishnah, it goes Bezman HaErech. He only goes according to the amount of the Erech he had when he was taking it, which was under 20, which is less than that where he is right now when he's actually paying, which is over 20. Now the Mishnah is explaining these halachas. Starting with the first one that we discussed in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hesigyad Benoidah. This that we said that we qualify how much the person could afford and we let it go according to that amount, that's Benoidah. That goes according to the one who's taking the vow. Kate said, how is that qualified? Says the Mishnah as follows. Ani Sheherech Hesa Asher. If a poor person takes the Erech vow of a wealthy person, so nice and Erechani. He gives the Erechin of how much a poor person could afford. Although the person that is his Erech vow was a wealthy person who could afford it, you don't go based on him. You go based on how much the affording is of the person who took the vow. Similarly, v'asher sheherech hazani. If a wealthy person took the Erech vow of a poor person, nois an Erech asher. He gives the Erech vow of what a wealthy person, meaning the subject, is defined by the one who is the nerach. But how much do you have to pay according to how much you could afford goes on the person who's taking the Erech vow. Now, says the Mishnah of the Karbanos Enikin. This halacha that we were saying, it doesn't apply to karbanos, to sacrifices. Meaning, Harisha Amar karbanos shel mitzayra zeh olai. Someone says that the karbanos, that mitzayra, where mitzayra in this purification process has to be in karbanos, where someone who had saras, he says, those his karbanos are incumbent upon me to bring. So says the Mishnah, hoy mitzayra ani, if that subject was a poor person, maybe karbanani, where there's a unique halacha regarding certain karbanas, and mitzayra is one of them, which oil biyari, depending on how much a person could afford, that's how what type of a karban he brings. So, and that's what we're saying, that if he says I have to bring his karbanas, so he's the subject and he's taking that vow, if the subject is poor, then he brings the karbanas of a poor mitzayra. Usher, maybe karban usher. If the subject was a wealthy person, and those were the karbanas he was chayven, is obligated, now the one who's taking that responsibility has to bring the karbanas of an usher. So unlike what we just described regarding Erechin, that we don't go based on the subject, rather the one who's taking, but karbanas, not like that, it goes based on the wealth of the subject. Now, Rebbe, I mean, he says, no, Oimar Ani, I say that af be Erechin came. No, even by Erechin, the same thing would apply, that if you would have in the situation of Erechin, similar to the situation that you just described by karbanas, then it would be like karbanas. Because this that you're saying that Erechin is not like karbanas because the cases are not comparable. Because v'chimim neima ani sheherech esa asher noisen erech ani. Why is the halacha that you said, which is correct, when a poor person takes the erechin vow of a wealthy person, that you're saying he only has to give the erechin of how a poor person, meaning he gets qualified like hesegad and he goes on the sliding scale? That's simply because she'ina asher chayev klum. Because a wealthy person, in the case you described, he's not obligated in anything. That's not the same thing as the case of the mitzayra. This that he's saying that I'm taking the erechim vow of that wealthy person, his whole intention was only according to the measurement of the years of that wealthy person. Where that's either going to be more or less depending on the age difference of the one who's taking the erechim vow and the subject. So therefore, yeah, the one who's the poor person taking the vow is going to get qualified with hesegad. Because he didn't say anything more than just regarding the age and the years of the wealthy person that he's taking the erechim vow. So the Erechin gets qualified with hesegad. Avol, but this is the case that's similar to the case of Karbanas. Asher sha'ama Erechi yalai. If a wealthy person would say, my Erechin vow is upon me, where then he would be obligated, since he's a wealthy person, the full Erechin vow of his status. Which that's similar to the case of Mitzayra Asher, where the Mitzayra himself is obligated in the full wealthy Karbanas that a Mitzayra Asher has to bring. Vishama aniva amar masha amazelai, and then the poor person would hear and he would say, what this guy has to give is on me. Nice and erech asher. He would have to give the erechim vow of a wealthy person, not of hesigyad as the poor person that he is. And that's exactly the case of the karbanas. So therefore says Rebbe, no, the karbanas and erechim would share the same halacha. Now the Gemara asked regarding the wording that the Mishnah, the Perek, opened up with. We said hesigyad, the halacha of hesigyad, gets qualified with the neider. So on that is the Gemara Hesegad b'marichu. That's regarding someone that's taking an Erech vow, not someone that's taking a Neder vow. Because if actually someone says the me'olai, that his monetary value is ami to give the hekdesh, there's no qualification of hesed yad. Rather, he has to give everything as he could afford it as it comes. As the Gemara says later in the Chaf and Aleph, that's the stringency that applies by nedarim over erichin. That by nedarim there's no qualification of getting off with this halacha of hesed yad. Says the Gemara, you're right. The halacha is, we're talking about b'marach. So why do we say b'noider? Because k'dechsev, it's like the wording of the pasuk in the Yikra. It says, ashatasig yad ha'noider, that which could afford the hand of the one who's taking the vow, yerechen ha'kohen, the kohen will evaluate him as such. So the reason why we're calling the marach of a noider is because that's simply the terminology used in the pasuk of hesed yad. Now, similar question, the next words in the Mishnah was, that hashan b'nider, the age that you go based on, which the erechen value goes according to years, that goes based on the subject of the vow, not the one who's taking the vow. That is the Gemara b'nider, b'nerechu. That's in the nerech, in the subject of erechen vow. Because someone that says, the monetary value of that person is on me, actually does not get qualified according to what his years are, rather according to how much value he would be sold as a slave in the marketplace. So why are we saying b'nider? Says the Gemara, you're right. I did ama hesegyad b'noider. Since we said the terminology of neder regarding the halach of hesegyad, because that was the terminology in the pasuk, so manami hashon b'nider. So when we said the subject in regarding to the years, we also used the term neder, but really it's b'nerach. Now the Mishnah continued and explained this opening halacha of our Mishnah of hesegyad b'noider ketzad. So what's this halacha that the halach of hesegyad goes based on the one who's taking the vow, which is the erich vow? So the Mishnah said, Ani sheherech ha'asher. If a poor person takes the erichin value of a wealthy person, still nice erichani, he could give the erichin value of hesegad of how much a poor person could afford. Go based on him, not regarding the subject. Says Gemara, my time. What's the reason? Because the Amakra, the pasuk says, ashatasegad hanoyde. That's which the one who takes the vow could afford, which is benoyde tal rechmana. The Torah makes a contingent on the one who's taking the vow, not the subject of the vow. Now the Mishnah continued later on and said, al b'kabanas einake. But regarding karbanis, that halacha doesn't apply. Which is, Haresha amr karbanis shal mitzara zeh alai. If someone says that the karbanis of this mitzara is incumbent upon me, so hay mitzara ani, if the mitzara, if the subject was a poor person, so maybe karbanani, then it brings a karbanani, but if not, not. Now, on that asked the Gemara, v'avagav de madirai asher, is that even if the one who's taking the vow, when we say madirai, we mean to say this one who's saying that the karbanis of that mitzara is on me, that even if he's wealthy, that then the halach is going to be that since the subject was poor, he could bring just the karbanis of the poor mitzayra. But how could you say that vimdalhu amrachman? The Torah tells us that mitzayra doesn't have to bring the wealthy karbanis; he could bring the cheaper karbanis. It says imdalhu if he's poor. V'loydalhu, the one who's bringing the karbanis, because he says I'm taking responsibility to bring that person's karbanis. He's a wealthy person, so who cares that the subject is poor, but he's wealthy? How could he bring other poor man's karbanis? So Amr Yitzchak, he says, you're right. Kishahoye madiri ani. This halacha, the Mishnah that we're saying, now when the subject is a poor mitzayra, then the madir, the one who's taking that responsibility, could bring the mitzayra of a poor mitzayra's kabanas, is if that person is himself a poor person. And then he's dal. So the Gemara says, but even that, how do you know? V'dilma alei didei, maybe only on the mitzayra himself, chas rachman, the Torah was concerned and was more forgiving that if he's poor, that then he doesn't have to bring the wealthy man's karbanas. But I'm a dirai loy, but maybe on the one who's taking a vow to bring his karbanas, even if he himself is a poor person, maybe he wouldn't have that compromise, because the ksivhu, there's exclusionary terminology in the pasuk says, if he's poor, he's poor, the mitzvah. But someone that's being madrid to bring his karbanas, maybe doesn't have that dispensation, maybe has to bring the karbanas of Asher. How do we know that even if he's an ani, that he doesn't have, that he could bring the karbanas of an ani? So Amar Rabbi Bahavi says, because there are seemingly extra words in the pasuk that then seems redundant and says, Ve'ein yodoy masegis, saying he's poor. What's saying, and his hand cannot afford? Is L'Rabbi says a neider to include someone else that can't afford, including the neider. If the neider is poor and the subject is poor, then he could also bring the poor man's karbanas. Now, so the Gemara asks, so what are you saying? So Abul Madiri Asher. But you're saying, but if let's say the one who's taking the vow is wealthy, so Hachanami de Maisi Bashiris, then you're saying that even if the subject is poor, he would have to bring as a wealthy person. Sim Cain, then if that's the case, my Alba Kabanas in the Cain, then why is the Mishnah saying differentiating between the laws of Erechin, according to Tanakama, and the laws of Kabanas, saying there it's not the same thing as Erechin? What do you mean? By Kabanas, you see that you're also going based on the Neider. You see, you're going based on the one who's taking the vow. If he's wealthy, even if the subject is poor, he's got to bring like a wealthy person. Well, that's exactly like the laws of Erechin that we said. That we said, we don't care if the subject is wealthy or not. It depends on the one who's taking the vow. So then why are you saying Alba Kabanas in the Cain? The Gemara continues on the base and says, well, you're right. There's two halachas. Chada, one of these two halachas of our Mishnah, most definitely is this halacha that we're saying that if the mitzvah is an ani, and we're saying that then the one who took the vow brings a carbon ani, most definitely that is, as we explained before, is talking about where the mother himself is also poor. Now, that is a case of a mitzera ani umadiri ani. So the mitzera is poor and the madir is poor. Like we said, because if he's wealthy, then he would have to bring the karbanos of asher. Now, but v'chada, but there's another halach in our Mishnah, and it's actually from this other one that the Mishnah was saying b'karbanos inikain, that that's where karbanos is different than the laws of Erechim. Because we learned that if the mitzera is wealthy, that then the one who's taking the vow to bring it has to bring a carbon of usher, even if the mother himself is poor. That's lemu'ute mitzera usher umadiri ani. That's coming to exclude that if the mitzera is wealthy and the one who's taking the vow is poor, that's not the same thing as the law of Erechin, where we don't go based on the neider. I mean, regarding Erechin, we don't care about the subject. We say whoever's the one taking the vow, if the equivalent in Erechin would be that the subject is wealthy and the one who's taking the vow is poor, he would have hasagyad. And that halacha is what we're saying, that here it's going to be different. Here, the halacha is that if the subject is a mitzera usher, even if the mother is an ani, he's still going to have to give the karbanos of an usher. And that's what the Mishnah had to tell us, of a karbanos enakin, to tell us this case where the mitzera is wealthy and the mother is ani, he still has to bring a karban like an usher. Why do we have to say it? Because Sogedai Dechimin, you would have thought to say, Hail v'israbu, since we're including the neider, from the extra words, like we said on Oman Alf, of Ve'in Yod Maseges, that if he can't afford it, where the Torah was compassionate, not just on the Mitzvah is poor, but if let's say the Mitzvah is poor, and the Madir is also poor, then we said, okay, then the Madir himself also only has to give the poor man's karbanos. So you would think that is Rabu, that also then we would include even the case if the Mitzvah is wealthy. But since he, the Madir, is poor, then he could still give the poor man's karbanos. Kamash Malan, that's what we have to tell you, that no, that it's regarding that case, that it's not going to be that case. That's what we're saying of Bukabonis Inakane, that we're not going to go bust with the Neider, since the subject is himself obligated in the Mitzvah of Usher, because he's an Usher, then even if the Madhu's on, he has to give the wealthy man's Karbonis. Now Rashi says that that's the text that we have in our Gemara, but he says that actually the primary text he would say is that the Gemara had asked a question, well then, what's Abu Kabanas Enakain? And that the Gemara's answer is, Achada, that you're right, this Abu Kabanas Enakain is only going on one of the cases of our Mishnah, of when the Mitzvah is wealthy and the Madir is a pauper. Because then you would have thought to say that, okay, that maybe the Torah is still compassion on him, like the laws of Erechin, that okay, the Madir is an Ani, so he only has to give like an Ani. And that we're saying that no, that he has to give like an Asher. But because the terminology of our Gemara of Chada and Chada is not normally how the Gemara would explain it, the way we're describing it, but either way it comes out with the same interpretation. Now, continues the Gemara, that similarly we learned in the Braisa the same idea. Lefisha mitzinu ba'arachim. Like we said, in the laws of Arachim we find the ani sheherech asa'ash. If a poor person takes the Arachim value of a wealthy person, nice and Arach ani, he still gives the Arachim value of Hezegat as a poor person, because we don't go based on the subject, we go based on the neider. Yochalav Zekain, so you would think the same thing would be in this equivalent case of when the poor person says that the carbon of Mitzayra that's wealthy is on me, that he could still give the poor man's Mitzayra carbon. Tamaloyme imdalhu. That's why it says, no, if he's poor, the Torah is only compassionate on the Mitzayra, not on the Madir. Now again, if the Mitzayra is on the and the Madir is on the, so that we have an extra word, an extra terminology of V'loy Hesegad. But regarding if the Mitzvah himself is wealthy, then it's only him that we say that the halacha, and if the Madhu is going to be ani, he's still going to have to give the wealthy man's karbanos. It's that halacha that's of the karbanos indicant that's different than the laws of Erech. Now, then the Gemara asks, okay, if that's what we learned from Dalhu, regarding this exact case, which is the case that we're saying that this is where karbanos of Mitzvah is different than Erechim, then Ula Rebbe Dama, but according to Rebbe that says in our Mishnah, that he says, Oymani af ba erichin kein. He says, no, I say even by erichin is the same thing as karbanis. That if you would have a wealthy person that has an erichin vow on himself, and the poor person says, what he's obligated in, I'm obligated in, then he has to give the erich value of a wealthy person. So Alma, so we see in the Gersa takes of the word Omar, that Basa Chayuba de Gavra, that Rebbe goes based on the obligation of the subject, of the person. That's where it's leaning, that's how we go when he's obligated, which is similar to the case of Mitzayr, when there's an obligation on the subject, that we say that that's exactly what's going to be the obligation of the Neidr, of the Marach. So then, Vaha, so then you have the case of when the Mitzayr is a Asher, and the mad is ani, so then according to him, you don't need a pasuk to exclude that this is different than the laws of Erichin, because to the contrary. By the laws of Erichin, actually, we already learned it out, that is exactly the same thing. That actually the madr, even if he's ani, but if the subject already was an usher who took that Erichin vow on himself, that the madr who takes that responsibility has to bring the Erichin value of an usher. So who the mu'ute mai? So you don't need who to say that, oh, this is different than Erichin, because actually Erichin has the same stringency. And you already know that from Erichin. So what's who coming to tell us? Says the Gemara, according to Rebbe, is Lama'ute Mitzayra Ani Umadire Asher. It's coming to exclude the case when Mitzayra is a poor person and the Madr is a wealthy person, that actually then, even though the Mitzayra that is taking his obligation as a poor person, but since he's a wealthy person, that he has to bring it in the state of Ashiris. He has to bring the wealthy Mitzayra's Karbanos. Because Sogat, I mean, you would have thought to say, what do you mean? He says you go based on the subject's obligations, like we said in the inverse case, where he said that if, let's say, he's on the, and the Mitzayr's usher, he has to bring the Mitzayr usher's karbanis, you go based on the subject. So here too, you would say you go based on the subject's obligations, and since the subject is an oni, so even if the madr is an usher, he would only have to bring the Mitzayr oni's karbanis. Kamash Malan, that's what who's coming to tell us, that no, Vim Dal Hu, if he's poor, but if the one who's taking the Madr is a wealthy person, then he's going to be obligated in the wealthy Mitzvah's Kabbalah. We said, look, if the subject is poor and he's poor, so that's what we're saying, from we learned that from the extra terminology of Hesed Yad, that then he could bring a poor man's Kabbalah. But according to Rebbe, it's the inverse case that we need to exclude from who, that if the Mitzvah is on the and he's Asher, then we're not going to go with the regular Chiyuv, the Gavra of the subject, and he's going to have to bring the Mitzvah Asher's Kabbalah. Now, as Rashi points out, Kontra Banan, who they already learned who for the inverse case, they actually don't need to exclude this case. Because since by Erichin, they always go based on the Neider, on the one who's taking the vow, so Mitzvah would also go based on the Neider. And since he's wealthy, so even though the subject is poor, they already know that you would have to give the wealthy ones. But according to Rebbe, you wouldn't know that because he goes based on the subject. Therefore, you need who to say that he's not going to go based on the subject. And since the Mad is wealthy, he has to bring a Mitzvah usher's Karbanis, even though the subject that he's taking his responsibility of Karbanis was a Mitzvah Ani. And now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the first halacha mentioned in our previous Mishnah, that of the laws of Hesed. How much could the person himself afford if he can't afford the full erech vow that he took? Says the Mishnah as follows: Haya ani veheshev. Let's say he was poor, but he became wealthy before he gave the erech vow to Hekdesh for the obligation that he took, or the opposite: Asher veheni. He was wealthy, but he became poor before he actually gave it. Still, since before he gave it, he was a wealthy person at some point, says the Tanna Kamma, listen, Erech Asher gives the Erechim value of a wealthy person. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says even more. He says, Ani v'hesher v'chaz v'heni. If he was poor, became wealthy, then became poor again, all this before he gave the Erechim vow. Listen, Erech Asher, he's still going to have to give the Erechim value of a wealthy person, even though when he took it, he was a poor person. And when he was giving, he was poor. But since at some time before he gave it, he was wealthy, he has to give the Erechim value of a wealthy person. Says the Mishnah, Aval b'karbanis einikin. But this halacha that we're mentioning in our Mishnah is not the same by karbanis, where if, let's say, a person was a mitzera that was wealthy and then he became poor, or he was poor and became wealthy, there you go based on the time that he's actually bringing the karbanis, as the Gemara is going to bring a braisa, that a mitzera that brings this karbanis, where that it's established according to the psukim, as we'll see, Gzeres Sakasim. One opinion says Asham, one says Chatas, one says other karbanis, but from all their opinions, we learn that it's based on the time of when he's actually bringing his karbanis. In contrast, with Erichin, we said that, no, it's not going based on when he's bringing it, where even if when he's bringing it, he could be poor, but if he was wealthy beforehand, then it'll be a karban of, it's going to be the obligation of a wealthy person, not as the hesegat of a poor person. Now, the Mishnah goes back in regards to the laws of Erichin, regarding another leniency in regard to the laws of Erchen, of Hesed Yad, says in the Mishnah, Fila Meis Aviv, even if, let's say, the father of this one who's taking the Erchen vow, at the time when the Kohen is evaluating to say, okay, how much could you afford for Erchen vow? His father passed away. V'nich le riboy, and he left over for him 10,000 mana. He left him over a large amount of money. Similarly, if let's say his boat is in the seas, ubalei biribayis, and it's coming with tens of thousands of dollars of worth, says the Mishnah, in lehektish boklum, hektish does not get any of that, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this halacha. Now the Mishnah said, ani v'hesher, if he was poor, but if he became wealthy before he gave, he has to give that as a wealthy person. He doesn't have the halacha of hesegyat. Says the Gemara, why? Because the pasuk says, "Ashatase gad hanoider." According to that, how much the hand of the one that took the vow could afford, and ultimately he could afford it now because he's wealthy. Even though when he took it, he was poor, so he has to give that of the full erchem vow. Similarly, the Mishnah said, "Asher behendi." If he was wealthy and he became poor, still have to give that of a wealthy person. You don't get hasigad, even though right now he can't afford. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Al pi asher tasig," according to that which could afford. And as the pasuk continues, "Yad hanoider," that of how much the one who took the vow, which sounds like you go based on the time of the neder, which at that time he was wealthy. So even though now he's poor, he doesn't get the halacha and the leniency of hesegyat. Now the Mishnah continued, "Rabbi Yehuda," he said, "Afila ani vehesher b'chaz behani," even if he was poor, wealthy, and then became poor again by the time he's going to give the erech vow. Nice and Erech Asher, still, since at some point he was wealthy, he has to give that as a wealthy person. He doesn't get the leniency of Hesekat. Says Gemara, my time to Rebuda. What's the reason to Rebuda? Because Amar Krad, the Pasuk says, V'im machu me'erkach, when it talks about the halacha of Hesekat, says, and if he's poor from affording his evaluation, okay, then we do this halacha of Hesekat. But it says, regards to mach, regarding being poor, it says, who? That means to tell us, who means Bab Yasi Yehe, he has to be continuously like that, until he was poor from the beginning to the end. Since at some point he was wealthy, he doesn't have the qualification of Hesegyad. That is the Gemara, Elamiat. If that's the case, that's how you learn who. It has to always be like that. Then take a different pasuk regarding, which we'll keep on comparing the context with a Mitzayra, which says, Vindalhu. It says, if the Mitzayra is poor, okay, then he also could bring a cheaper type of karbanas. You're going to say that there also the halacha of Mitzayra bringing the poor kabbanas is also that it's only if from the time that he had the obligation all the way to the end, at no point did he become wealthy, only then could he bring the poor man's kabbanas? And if you're going to say yes, that's what we're going to interpret there too. But what's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim that says not like that. And this is what we reference in the Mishnah when we're discussing this idea. The Mishnah says, Mitzayra shehebi karbanaisav. Mitzayra that's bringing some of his karbanas. And he was ani at that time, he was poor. Then vehesher, then later on, before he brings the rest of his karbanas, he becomes wealthy. Or asher veheni, he was wealthy when he brought some of the karbanas. Then before he was able to bring the rest, he became poor. Says the first opinion, hakol hoylech achar chatas. Everything goes based on when he's bringing his karban chatas. Which is, if when he brought his sin offering, he was wealthy, he brought the wealthy karbanas. So then when he brings his oila, he also has to bring oilas behema, the wealthy type of karbanas, that of an animal. If let's say when he brought his chatas, he was poor, he brought a chatas, a bird chatas, then even if he becomes wealthy, he could also bring his karban oila as the poor karbanas. He doesn't have to bring an oilas behema. That's the Reb Shimon. He says, no, everything goes based on the karban ashram, when he's bringing the guilt offering. The Tanya Lunda Brice, a third opinion, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Eimer, he says, Akol hoylech achar tziparim. Everything goes after the two live birds that he brings for the purposes of the spraying, which is before he cuts off his hair, which is at the time of his being sprayed. He's a poor person when he's bringing these two tziparim chayis, so then he brings his karbanas as the poor man's karbanas. And if at that time he was wealthy, then he brings all his karbanas as the wealthy person. But one thing we see, that doesn't make a difference if at any point he became wealthy. It's just whenever he's bringing that specific karban according to either one of the three opinions, that's going to qualify. But why? It says, Vimdal hu, should have to be mitchilas about seifei. Obviously, we don't make that interpretation. Says, Gemara, no, that's not difficult. Because Hayit Ma'alah, we said regarding that halacha, that Amr B'Yudim Rav, says, V'shloshtu mikro echadarshu, that actually all these three opinions all learn out their opinion from the same pasuk. Which that tells us is that it's exeris akasim. There's a decree from the pasuk telling us that it's going to go based on that carbon. But you're right. Generally, from who we would interpret mitchilas avat seifa, and therefore in our context, v'machu me'erkecha is according to Rabbi Yehuda mitchilas avat seifa. Why? What's unique about this halacha of mitzayra? Because the pasuk says be'yikra as follows: says ashalei tasig yodu b'tarase. If he can't afford his purification process, okay, so he doesn't have to bring the wealthy carbonus of a mitzayra. He can bring the poor carbonus according to that sliding scale. Now, but What qualifies that halacha that he can't afford? Reb Shimon Sava, he held Dava HaMechaper. It's something that brings the atonement, because this is how it's written in the regarding to the mitzvah that's poor in the Yikra Perikadal. It says, V'chipra lov ha-kain, the kain's going to atone for him. And right there is where it says that pasuk, that this is the law, Ashabay Nega Tzaras, which is the conclusion, is the halacha that we're talking about, which it says that Ashalay Tasik Yodah B'Tarasa, which sounds like that if he can't afford what the previous pasuk was talking about at the time of the atonement, then he's going to have this halacha of being considered a poor person, even if at a subsequent point he could afford. And mind you, what is the atonement? That's chatas. The sin offering is always that which provides the atonement. That's why it's the qualifier. Therefore, the Gzeis HaKasav is telling us it's this, and not, like we said, mitchilas Shabbat Seifa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sava, he held, no, it has to be davar hamachshir. It's something that then prepares him that is a qualifier. Because he understands the pasuk that says, Ashalei tasek yodeh b'shas b'taharasai, which means if he can't afford it at the time of his purification, then he's going to have the halacha of a poor person. Umayni, what's that that purifies him? That's the ashim, that's the guilt offering, because the karban ashim is actually what allows him to then come into the Beis HaMikdash and to eat from kachim, because it's from the blood of the ashim that's then put onto his thumbs and by his ear, which is that purifies him. So it's from that blood, so that's what prepares him to be able to partake of kachim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Sava, he held Hagoyim Loi Tahara. He also learns the pasuk similarly, like Rabbi Yehuda, but he says it's what causes the purification. Umayni, what's that? That's Tziparim. That's the birds, because as long as he doesn't make the birds, he can't cut his hair, and therefore he's not totally then allowed to then be considered totally pure. So therefore, that's the reason for those three opinions, and therefore it's not a difficulty. Oh, it says who? Yeah, but the Gezer Kazim is telling us that we go based on, as each according to their own opinion, on one of the karbanos. But then Bedlahu Lamali. So okay, fine. In this context, who's not going to tell us Mitchalas Shabbat Sefer? But then what is who coming to tell us? Why does it say the word who? Says the Gemara, that's either La Rebbe Kedisle, which actually from our previous mission on the top of this Amud, from the previous Gemara's discussion, according to Rebbe, that we said that it's coming to exclude if a wealthy person took upon himself the responsibility of bringing a poor Mitzvah's Karbanas, he still has to bring like a wealthy person's Mitzvah's Karbanas. Or according to Rabban, the way they interpreted, which was the inverse case, which is if a poor person took the vow of bringing a wealthy mitzvah's karbanas, then he has to bring the wealthy person's karbanas. That's what who's coming for, but not to tell us mitchilas about seif. But the Gemara continues asking the same idea. Let me ask them, then take a different halachic context, the pasuk in Meyikra, which says that if a person is going to sin, where it says that if he was vowed to say that he knows testimony and he denies it, he doesn't say testimony, so then he has to carry his sin. Now in that pasuk it says, V'hu eid, and he's a witness. He really has testimony to say, but he doesn't, so then he's guilty for this sin. Now, what does it mean, V'hu eid? It says the same who. So you're gonna tell me, Achi Kashim et Chalasav Tzayf, until he's valid to be a witness to say this testimony from the beginning of the incident all the way to the end when he actually says his testimony. V'chitim Achanam, if you're gonna say, yeah, that's how we're gonna interpret V'hu eid, but Tanya learned the braisa that says as follows. Someone knew testimony for someone. Actually, Nasa Chasanei, before he became a son-in-law by that person. But Nasa Chasanei, then he subsequently became his son-in-law. Or a similar case. Pikech v'nischarish. At one point, he was totally healthy, but then he became a deaf-mute. Or Pesuch v'nistami. He was able to see, and then he became blind, which a blind person is invalid to say testimony, like the pasuk says, Oiro, or he saw. You have to be able to see. Or Shafi v'nishtata. He was sane, he became insane. Harei's apostle, and that says the Brisa says he's invalid, because when he's coming to say the testimony, there's an invalidation, even though beginning he wasn't, but now he's already invalid. Aval, but says the Brisa as follows. Let's say he knew testimony for this person. When he witnessed the incident, he was not related. Then he became his son-in-law. Then as the Gemara continues to talk about Yudchesim et Alf, Akach Mesabitai. And then before he came to the court to testify, that man's daughter, which is his wife, died, so now he's not his son-in-law anymore. So in the beginning, when he saw it, he was okay. In the middle, sometime he wasn't because he was related. But now when he's actually coming to testify, he's not related anymore. Or similar. Pikech v'nischarish b'chaz v'nispikech. He was healthy, became a deaf-mute, but then before he came to testify, he really became back healthy again. Or pesuch v'nistame v'achkech v'nispatech. He was able to see, became blind, and then became able to see again. Or shafa v'nishtata v'chaza v'nishtafa. He was sane, became mentally deranged, and became back sane again. Then says the Braisa, kasha. Then he's a valid witness to testify. Because Zaklal says the Braisa, that's the rule. Kol shet chilasa v'sefet b'kasha is kasha. As long as in the beginning when he saw it, and at the end was coming to testify, he's okay, then even though sometime in the middle he wasn't, it's going to be kasha. But why? You say, but who ate? But who says it has to be the whole time? And here we're saying, even if it's not the whole time, it's going to be a valid witness. Says the Imam, no, Shani Hassan, there it's different. Because hiros is exeis akasav. Because Amar Kra, the pasuk says, oira, or he sees. Or the pasuk says, and imlo yagid, if he's not going to say. So it sounds like Beri'i of Ahagod, the Tala Rechim on the Milsa. The Torah makes a contingent, this testimony, on two elements, two circumstances. When he sees it and when he says, Bo'ika, and that you have over here. Therefore, it's going to be valid. So therefore, we're not going to interpret Vuhu mitchalas about Saif. So then the question here also is, then Be'ele Bahu Lamali, then why does the pasuk say Bahu? So the Gemara, let's look at the time, that's to teach us a different halacha that's taught in the following Brice. The Brice says, if a person sees a group of people standing, and his witnesses that he wants to testify for him, which is what the context of that pasuk is talking about, where the person is not saying the testimony that they know, and his witnesses are amongst this group of people. And this person, this litigant, says to the group of people, he says, "Mashbi'eni aleichem, I make you swear," and he says this to the whole group, "Emyeidim atem li'edis, if you know testimony for me, that you should come and testify for me." So Yachal Yuchayav, and you would think that the witnesses in that group would be liable for what's called Shvuas Eidus, when he swears falsely that he does no testimony, when he really does no testimony. If he doesn't testify, that then they would be liable. Tamalayim of who aid. That's what the Bais says. No, it says in the Pasuk, and he says it in the definitive way. He's the witness. Now, the litigant didn't designate and make them swear, because he made them all swear. So since he didn't designate, that doesn't qualify for halacha of Shvuas Eidus. Yachal, you would think, Afilo Amar Kol Mi, that even if he says, whomever knows testimony for me is the ones that I'm making swear, you would think that even there, that then they wouldn't be liable. Tamalim, but who ate? That's what it says, and he's the witness. V'hari Yichad Eidim. In the case we just described, he did designate the witnesses, because he didn't make to swear only whomever is his real witnesses, and therefore that's what V'hu is coming to teach us, that I have to designate to be liable in the halacha of Shavuos Eidus. But it's not coming to tell us mitchalas about Saifoy because of the Gzeiras HaKasav. But again, it doesn't refute the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda in the context when there is no exclusion to that idea. And when it says who, it would mean mitchalas about Saifoy, and therefore when it says V'machu Me'erkechom, and therefore, if it was an Ani and Hesher, and then Ani, since at some point it wasn't Ani, he's not going to have the dispensation of the Halacha of Hesegat.